The Biden administration is weighing its options on withdrawing American troops from Afghanistan. In early 2020, former President Trump reached a deal with the Taliban for U.S. troops to begin leaving on May 1st of this year. President Biden said in an interview with ABC News last week that May 1st may be a little too optimistic.
I'm in the process of making that decision now as to when they'll leave. The fact is that that was not a very solidly negotiated deal that the former president, worked out. And so we're in consultation with our allies as well as the government, and that decision's going to be, it's in process now.
Likely to take longer?
I don't think a lot longer.
U.S. troops have been in Afghanistan for nearly 20 years. In a surprise visit to Afghanistan over the weekend, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin refused to say whether the Taliban is holding up its end of the bargain. The war is just one of many foreign policy items that the Biden administration is dealing with. Others include China, North Korea, Russia, Iran, and Saudi Arabia. You can join us at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have? What are you seeing about the Biden administration's foreign policy? That's 800-642-1234. Our guest is Bruce Gentleson. He's the William Preston Few Distinguished Professor of Public Policy and Professor of Political Science at Duke University. He's also a former U.S. State Department official in the Obama and Clinton administrations. Bruce, good to have you back on Central Time.
Thanks. Good to be with you.
Biden's been in office for 61 days. What have we learned about his administration's approach to foreign policy matters, or is it really too soon to tell?
Yeah, in a number of respects, he's gotten off to a really good start. One of his first priorities was to stop the bleeding in relations with America's allies, particularly in Europe and Asia. You know, allies are a force multiplier. They're not like a favor we're doing for other countries around the world. And so in early February, it's a conference he normally would have gone to, but didn't go to because of COVID. He gave a big speech to a conference in Munich, Germany. And he just sent his top foreign policy people to Asia. And they were in South Korea and in Japan and India, as well as meeting with China. And it was really important to say America believes that our security is enhanced by working with others. We're not going to go it alone. And the other quick priority was to stand up to Putin. Still don't know all the details of Vladimir Putin and Donald Trump's relationship, but it was pretty clear whether it was on human rights issues or Ukraine or interference in American elections that Trump was basically letting Putin have his way. And Biden has already sent a message. They've talked directly that we're not going to turn him into a total adversary. Biden actually already renewed a major strategic arms nuclear treaty with him. But we really need to make clear that we have our interests and we're going to take stands on them.
And we'll certainly travel around the world to talk about this. But you just mentioned former President Donald Trump. How does what President Joe Biden is doing stack up with what we've seen for the past 4 years?
Well, the message from Donald Trump to America's allies was, we don't care about you. And we think you've been using us. And very much in your face, including at a personal level with a lot of the leaders. The alliances we have served us well for 40, 50, 60 years. They need to be recalibrated and adjusted as the world changes, for sure. But they're based on a mutuality that, whether it's in relation to Russia or in relation to China or in many other ways. I mean, for example, the meeting of what they call the Quad, the four democracies in Asia, Australia, Japan, South Korea, India, and ourselves. It was very interesting. Like, they didn't just stress standing up to China. They said, let's get together for COVID vaccine distribution in the region, and let's get together to try to develop some of the common climate change policies. And those are ways in which 1 and 1 equals 3. You know, you get more done when you work with others. Very, very different than the message that Trump was saying and the policies he was pursuing.
Bruce Gentleson's a professor of public policy and a professor of political science at Duke University. And as we have this conversation, you are part of it. Call 800-642-1234. What are your early impressions of President Biden's foreign policies? What do you think about one area or another as we talk about Afghanistan, Saudi Arabia, Russia, China? Call in at 800-642-1234. We've got Jeff from Superior on the line. Hey, Jeff.
Hi, good afternoon. You know, these professors you have on represent the Democratic Party, and the Democrats have no credibility when it comes to foreign policy. When you look at Clinton and Kerry and Gore, and Obama had 8 years in the White House, he had the opportunity to take the troops out of Afghanistan, but he never did. He drew a red line in the sand in Syria, and he didn't enforce it. The Democrats have no plan. They've never had a plan from the beginning. The only one who did was Donald Trump, and he had over 70 million, almost 80 million people vote for him, the most of any sitting incumbent president in United States history. So there are Americans out there who believe Trump had the right idea to go it alone, and we are not, cahoots with Russia. Russia is a first world nation. We are working with them. We're the two strongest nations on earth, and the policy of appeasement that Trump had with China and Russia was working.
And all right, Jeff, I'm going to jump in here because you've made a couple of different points here, and I want to make sure that our guest, Bruce Gentleson, has the ability to respond there. Jeff's point, Bruce, that I heard front and center at the beginning was Jeff doesn't think Democrats have a plan.
Well, you know, I know that I respect Jeff's view, and a lot of people did vote for Donald Trump. More people obviously voted for Joe Biden. Democrats have had a lot of successes in foreign policy. It was Democrats that, even going back to Jimmy Carter, who people, you know, don't take very seriously, made the first major peace treaty between Israel and an Arab country, Egypt. Bill Clinton made one between Israel and Jordan. Nothing else like that had been achieved in the Middle East by any Republican president. On Afghanistan, though, I think he has a point there. I think it's very important. We have a war there that has been going on for almost 20 years. That has spanned, you know, one administration after another, Republican and Democrat. It's often referred to as the forever war. We can't have forever wars. And it really is time to end that war, but to end it with a strategy. And I think that's what President Biden is working on. Donald Trump was, oh, let's just get out and, you know, because I think that'll help me politically. I'm not sure that really stands up very well as a solid foreign policy doctrine.
Well, Bruce, Jeff mentioned Russia. You've already mentioned Russia. So let's talk about that. In his interview with ABC last week, Biden was talking about Russia and said he and Vladimir Putin might not be close friends, but they understand each other. And then he said this, which generated some headlines.
Look, most important thing dealing with foreign leaders, in my experience, and I've dealt with an awful lot of them over my career, is just know the other guy.
So you know Vladimir Putin. You think he's a killer?
Mm-hmm. I do.
So what price must he pay?
The price he's going to pay, well, you'll see shortly.
Okay. So President Biden is talking about something there. But first off, what do you make of Biden saying he thinks Putin is a killer?
Yeah, there's some truth to it. I don't think it was the best idea to go say it. You know, we've long known Joe Biden occasionally, you know, make some gaffes and stuff. But the fundamental issue, I think, is that Vladimir Putin, you know, had interfered in American elections in 2016, 2020, had supervised and executed this huge hack on American computer systems in the private sector and in the public sector that Trump paid no attention to. They were just beginning to get a handle on. And I think Putin does understand Biden. It was very significant that even though he was sending Putin a tough message, that right away they agreed to the renewal of the Strategic Nuclear Arms Control Treaty. Why? Because it's in both our interests not to get into another nuclear arms race and spend all that money on that and risk a nuclear war. So I think you're going to see a strategy that will work much more effectively than, frankly, giving Putin close to a blank check, as happened in the Trump years.
Do we have any idea what kind of price Biden might be talking about?
You know, I think his national security advisor, Jake Sullivan, indicated that some of the things we'll see, like the sanctions they announced dealing with Alexei Navalny, the dissident that they first tried to poison and then threw in jail. And others, you know, are better not talked about, right? If there is some cyber efforts going on, Putin will know about them. And as it's often said in foreign policy and also in life, if you're successful, you don't have to talk about it or brag about it. I think that's what he was indicating. There'll be things that we do that send a message that we won't necessarily get up and tell the press about, because the important thing is that Putin sees what we're doing and gets the message and starts to talk in a serious way to us about areas we might be able to work together.
We are taking a look at the Biden administration's handling of various foreign policy issues, including China, Russia, North Korea, Saudi Arabia, and climate change even. Bruce Gentleson is our guest. He's a professor of public policy and of political science at Duke University. I'm Keeley Boltina. You're listening to Central Time, and we're taking your calls. You can let us know what you think of the foreign policy measures taken by President Biden by calling 800-642-1234. Tell us which issue you find most urgent or what you'd like to see the administration do about some things facing the United States. That's 800-642-1234. Your calls are always welcome here on the Ideas Network. Bruce, we need to talk about Afghanistan because so much has happened recently. And those specific issues, Biden campaigned on ending what he called forever wars there and in the Middle East. So back to that May 1st deadline about withdrawing troops, how important is that?
It's very important. The deadline itself is not important, but it's very important to make a firm commitment to withdraw troops. And to also set up a strategy for negotiations for getting out. Biden inherited a deal that, as he said, wasn't all that well negotiated, number one. And number two, moving out America, that many American troops and all the equipment takes a lot of preparation, and very little, if any, of that was done by the Trump administration. I do believe that we shouldn't waffle on this. What I'm waiting to hear from the president is that if it's not May 1st, what's the deadline that it's going to be? And it needs to be a deadline definitely within this calendar year, if not by, let's just say, August. But at the same time, it's not just about getting out. And one of the interesting things that the administration has done is it started a negotiating process with all the countries in the region, China, Russia, Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, India, Iran, basically saying, you know, in some respects, having American troops there has actually helped all those countries with the different groups that they want to support. And we've been there trying to keep the stability and security while they could kind of do whatever they wanted to do. And now it's time for all the countries to understand that we're not going to protect their interests anymore, and that they're going to have to figure out a way to everybody work together. You're not going to make Afghanistan a perfectly stable place, but you can keep it from becoming a haven for terrorists. The Taliban should have learned the lesson by now after 20 some odd years that if they invite al-Qaeda back in, they would pay a price again. So those are the things you have to work on to make it work. But May 1st was the deadline that was inherited. It wasn't as if President Biden said May 1st was his and then he had to change it himself.
We've got Kurt in Milton who wants to join the conversation. Hi, Kurt.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Certainly. What's on your mind?
Well, I look at a broad range of things, and I think that may be the case that there are a lot of instances of information being withheld from the public and things like that that don't come out that are really influencing the decisions. I've noticed over the years that multiple presidents have wanted to shut down our activities in Afghanistan. Multiple administrations have wanted to shut down Guantanamo Bay. But once they get into the position and once they know the classified information, something changes. One of the things I will just mention is people don't know, but to make a nuclear weapon in today's society, you don't use enriched uranium. You use plutonium, which gets made from a power reactor set up as a breeder reactor, but you need lithium. And that's one of the key things that may be only available or kind of only available in Afghanistan. So we may be doing things like protecting our lithium access.
Kurt, thank you so much for bringing that up. I want to make sure that Bruce has a chance to respond to the idea that people campaign on getting out of Afghanistan, on closing down Guantanamo Bay, and then they don't do it.
Yeah, Guantanamo in the Obama administration wasn't done largely because of politics. The Obama's efforts to do it ran into Republican opposition. It wasn't sort of a conspiracy or secret information. I think it's a fair criticism in 2009 that when the Obama administration was considering Afghanistan, He'd actually campaigned to end the war in Iraq, but he believed he could do better in Afghanistan, and they kept the war going. And now we're further into it. I would say, you know, that having been in government, there's sometimes people keep information secret that the American people really should know, and they often do it because if we knew, we wouldn't like it. But there are other times where it's really important. If you go back to when Henry Kissinger made the breakthrough in 1971-72 with China, those were secret talks. And if you think about it like a flower you keep in the greenhouse till it can go out into the climate. Similarly with the talks that made progress on Arab-Israeli peace in the early 1990s. So there are times in which quiet diplomacy really is important, and it's in the interest of the American people. And we should hold our leaders accountable, Joe Biden or anybody else, to keeping secret those kind of things that will lead to benefits to the American people, but not just to hide problems.
Bruce Gentleson is a professor of public policy and a professor of political science at Duke University. And we are talking about U.S. foreign policy now 61 days into the Biden administration. And Bruce, we haven't yet talked about another foreign policy issue that takes us to Saudi Arabia. The U.S. says Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman gave the order to have journalist Jamal Khashoggi killed. Biden declined to hand down any punishment, saying it's not U.S. policy to go after heads of state. He did say others were held accountable in Khashoggi's death. What message did Biden send with that response?
Yeah, now, here I'll be critical of the president and you know, party that I have been a part of. I think that was the wrong decision that he made. And I think it was wrong for a number of respects. One is our own intelligence demonstrated that the Crown Prince, Mohammed bin Salman, MBS as he likes to be called, had basically ordered and supervised not just the killing of a dissident, but the butchering of a dissident. Mm. And someone who was a resident of the United States and was a journalist affiliated with American newspapers. You know, that's of a caliber that there really need to be severe consequences if we're going to say we stand for human rights. But secondly, the argument that the administration made as well, you know, it was a terrible thing, but we have these other issues with Saudi Arabia. No, I mean, to the extent that they cooperate with us on counterterrorism, it's not a favor to us. It's in their interest. They're more threatened by terrorists than we are. And I think you send the wrong message. You send the message that a leader like MBS or in Egypt, General Sisi, who's a dictator, might feel that all they have to do is say, oh, you know, we'll help you on counterterrorism. We can get away with things. So from a pure power and leverage perspective, as well as human rights, it was really the wrong decision.
And it was different than what Biden campaigned on. I mean, in the campaign, we heard him say that Saudi Arabia had no redeeming social value. And then this was the decision that he came down on, that the political cost was too high.
Yeah, I think they made a calculation that they were saying to MBS that they were telling him they would only deal with the king. He had to deal with our defense secretary because he was minister of defense. They were trying in some ways to you know, balance things out too much. And that's why I say it was not just that human rights should be respected, but also if you're just thinking pure power politics and leverage of who has leverage over whom, I think MBS came out of this thinking that he can get away with things. And that's a bad thing for American leverage and power in the Middle East and elsewhere.
Now, how would you describe our relationship with the Saudis?
You know, you go back to the early 1970s, where we were very dependent on them for oil. We're much less dependent now for a variety of reasons, whether it's our own oil and natural gas production, or we have a diversity of suppliers. We also, for the right reasons, I'm doing a lot more in renewables, and climate change is a huge priority for this administration. It needs to be even more because it's affecting us here and now, not just at some point in the future. And the Saudis have done many things that have been in their own interests, not just ours. You know, for example, they kicked out Qatar from one of the regional alliances because they have a rivalry with them. And we have one of our major military bases in Qatar. Right. And so with countries around the world, you have to say here are common interests. We'll work together. And here, even if, you know, we're partners in some ways, if we have divergent interests, we're going to pursue our interests. You know, that's what our priority is, not just letting you get away with things because you're a friend to us on certain ways.
We can't cover all of Biden administration's foreign policy in this amount of time. But as we wrap up, what other foreign policy issue are you watching?
Climate change. I mean, this is such an issue. You know, there's something called the doomsday clock, which is a figurative thing that shows how close we are to doomsday. And it usually is based upon you know, the state of nuclear weapons. Well, in January 2020, it got closer to midnight than ever before, and it was because of climate change, not just because of nuclear weapons. The economic consequences, I mean, right now you have Wall Street and major financial interests in the American economy that are saying, let's invest in climate change. The politics are changing, other than some denialists, you know, the Republican Party, a lot of Republicans want to do it. We're losing time. We don't have to just rejoin the Paris Agreement, but we have to ratchet up the goals for ourselves and others, because it's an issue that affects everything in our society, at the local level to the national to the global.
Bruce, thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.
Bruce Gentleson is a professor of public policy and a professor of political science at Duke University. He's also a former U.S. State Department official in the Obama and Clinton administrations. And we talked with him about the Biden administration's approach to Russia in the Middle East and other foreign policy issues.